Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for listening on the network, via the podcast app, or even on demand on our website. I'm Brett Amundson. This is the Midwest radio home for the outdoors. This week's show is brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan a trip to Lake of the Woods this winter, or start thinking about spring trips on the Rainy River at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. It's brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on the east side of Devil's Lake. Chase perch and a snow bear. Go to haybaleheights.com for more details. It's brought to you by the Sturgeon Spectacular, with destination Lake Winnebago region in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Getting ready for the sturgeon spearing season. We'll get an ice report here on the show. Let you know if you're planning on heading over there or not. Also brought to you by Prairie Sportsman on Pioneer Public Television. The new season getting started here on January 27th, featuring a grouse hunt with yours truly, along with Hank Shaw and Matt Soberg. Now, for the second year in a row, I attended the Minnesota DNR Roundtable discussion last week. Now, last year was a year of uncertainty by then-Commissioner Tom Landwehr. As it turns out, his uncertainty wasn't unfounded. When new Governor Tim Walz was elected, he chose to go with a new commissioner. A somewhat surprising choice, although maybe it shouldn't be so surprising. The choice was Sarah Stromer. Commissioner Stromer has a background in politics and conservation and also enjoys the outdoors and worked for various conservation groups, and also as an assistant in the commissioner's office for the last few years. So she definitely had some related experience on her resume. Now, the big deal of all this, of course, is that she's the first female to head up the Game Management Department of Minnesota. Should this be a big deal? Of course, it's a landmark appointment. But at the same time, if she's the right person for the job, then the discussion should end there, right? And the real question is not to judge a person when they're appointed or elected to a new position until they've done the job for a while. And then you say, okay, I don't agree with that, and I don't think that's right. And then you have a right to complain about it. I don't care if you're man, woman, child, Labrador, whatever. If you're the right person for the job, then you should get the job. If you're not and it's politically motivated, then there's something wrong with the system. But I'll wait to see how she does. You know, with Commissioner Landwehr being such a waterfowl guy and having some experience with Ducks Unlimited, I'd be curious to see if she has anything to say on how waterfowl regulated in the state. We'll see what she does about chronic wasting disease. And I'm guessing with her past experience in the boundary waters, she'll have something to say about that. And of course, it's not like she can just make a decision and that goes into law. There's still a process that has to be gone through. So I'll reserve further judgment until some decisions have been made. I really like how she handled herself at the roundtable. She was polite. She was humble. She displayed intelligence and compassion towards the outdoors in Minnesota. And that is the one thing that I'll give to the left in this whole political discussion. They care more about the environment than the right. The Republicans have to do a better job of coming back to the balance of jobs and landowner rights with conservation and protection of public lands. Now, sorry, I usually don't get into politics too much here on the radio show. And all politics aside, it was fun to get back to the roundtable, see my friends in the media and in the DNR. Last year, the discussion centered on protecting public lands. Lantani was a keynote speaker. He's been a big part of these gatherings at state capitals, like the one that's coming up February 7th in St. Paul with Pheasants Forever, to show our representatives that we care about our public lands. You should be there. We're going to be there February 7th. It's a Thursday. You know, it's time that sportsmen and women stand up for our rights and speak up with our representatives. For too long, we've let other people be the squeaky wheel with hopes that our hunting and fishing rights will remain status quo. There's a lot of activists and political groups and lobbyists doing all the talking. We need to be the ones doing the talking. Make sure you reach out and tell your representative how you feel in the right way. Do it in a polite manner, an intelligent manner. I was able to hunt in December with Representative Rick Hansen. He represents South St. Paul but owns family property down by the Iowa border near Harmony. Now, while I may not always see eye to eye on his politics, Rick is very passionate about conservation, and he's earned a great deal of my respect when it comes to habitat in Minnesota. He's also smack dab in the middle of the CWD kerfuffle. I've always wanted to use that word on the radio, kerfuffle. Chronic wasting disease. It's raising alarms across the country by supporters of the fight and also by detractors of the fight against CWD. Supporters believe aggressive action needs to take place while detractors feel that chronic wasting disease is overblown. One recent study has researchers worried about the transmission to humans, as a monkey was fed a venison steak that had CWD and then that monkey proceeded to get sick. Drastic measures are being taken, including here in Minnesota, where large herds of deer are being shot first by hunters and landowners, and then by sharpshooters over bait piles. This has got other hunters in other states worried that similar measures may take place in their states. Although, because of the government shutdown, the sharpshooters are on hold because of their feds. So it's on hold for the moment, but I'm sure it'll pick back up again here in a little bit. Now, the plan is to eliminate diseased deer in hot zones where positive tests have taken place. Now, that's mostly in Minnesota's southeast region, home to some of our largest deer. I was invited down to hunt during one of the CWD special hunts at the end of December by Representative Hansen. I promptly missed a nice buck with a borrowed shotgun. And while it may be a hunt designed to take large numbers of deer out, I found out the hard way, you still have to hit them. And that proved to be a bit of a challenge for me. We filmed an episode of Prairie Sportsman. You can learn more about our hunt and how the testing stations work. That was pretty interesting how they test these animals, especially down there in Amish country. You know, I've deer hunted a lot, and growing up, you hear squirrels, you hear crows and ravens and other birds of the forest and other animals, maybe see a coyote, maybe a wolf if you're up north. I'd never heard so many horses going up and down the road, pulling buggies behind it. It was an interesting experience, such neat country down there, and nice people. One of the Amish farms had a DNR CWD head collection station there. So if you didn't want to take your horse and buggy all the way up into Preston, sometimes that was a 10-20 mile ride, then you could drop it off at one of these farms and then the DNR would come collect them. So it was an interesting dynamic working with the Amish community down there in the southeastern part of Minnesota. Find out more coming up on Pioneer Public Television during Prairie Sportsman later this spring. Representative Hansen also talked about a plan to increase conservation enrollment in rural Minnesota, but also about creating habitat plans in urban areas. I thought this was a really interesting proposal. Now, there's a lot of green space, in, say, in the Twin Cities, and it's got Kentucky bluegrass. Why not convert that into blue stem and native prairie grasses? May not be able to hunt there, but you can provide nesting and cover and all sorts of habitat for waterfowl or pheasants or songbirds, plant milkweed, get the butterflies and monarchs rolling through there. Interesting proposal, and I'm curious to hear more and more about it. I think it's a great idea. A big part of the discussion at this year's DNR Roundtable centered on fundraising for conservation. So while the Pittman-Robertson Act has raised huge amounts of money by taxing hunting equipment, the decrease in hunters has conservationists worried. Now, could a similar tax be put on non-consumptive users of public land, such as bird watchers or hikers, bikers? Well, an attempt to do that in the past failed, so where do we look next? Do we try that again? Do we focus on the R3 program of recruitment, retention, and reactivation? Will we ever get back to having an increase in hunters and fishermen on the landscape? Is it as simple as just, you hear this a lot, but introduce somebody new to the outdoors? Is it that simple? Is that working? Is that not working? Is the programs that are out there like NASP or Clay Target League or the high school fishing teams, is that eventually going to turn this decrease around? These are all questions that will need to be addressed in the coming years when it comes to funding conservation. In the meantime, I just hope to get out and do some fishing this winter as much as possible. Now that we've got some colder temps, we're making some good ice again. And they need that out on Lake Winnebago for the Sturgeon Spectacular, the sturgeon spearing season. It opens up February 9th and 10th, opening weekend, part of the Sturgeon Spectacular in Fond du Lac with the Destination Lake Winnebago region. We're going to talk to Jamie Dittman about it. He'll be on the show here in a couple of minutes. He and I have been out there a couple of years trying to spear a sturgeon. So we'll talk about that. Plus, he got out for the winter trout opener up north. And we'll see how his opening trout weekend went last weekend here in a little bit. I'm curious, too. I was thinking about fishing. I was in the Twin Cities last week, and I was going to fish one of the metro area stocked trout lakes. If anybody fished one of the metro area trout lakes, I'd just be curious how you did. You don't have to tell me what lake you were on or whatever. I'd just be curious how busy they were and how you did fishing. So shoot me an email at sportingjournalradio.com or go to our Facebook page and share your photos from winter trout opener last weekend. Or if you were fishing anywhere in the state, I'd love to hear how you did for the winter trout opener last weekend. We're going to talk to Joe Henry to find out how fishing on Lake of the Woods has been. He's with Lake of the Woods Tourism. He's coming up. We'll also talk to Curtis Blake from a Snow Bear on Devil's Lake. They have been slamming perch up there in Devil's Lake. So we'll get a fishing report from Devil's Lake all on the way to here on Sporting Journal Radio. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a Snow Bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The Snow Bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a Snow Bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at Lake of the Woods MN.com. That's Lake of the Woods MN.com.
Welcome back to the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the network, online, and by using the podcast app on your phone. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook, where we share all kinds of crazy stuff, including some of the big fish pictures from Lake of the Woods. And Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism joins us right now. Joe, how's it going?
It's good. You're seeing some of those big walleyes coming in, eh?
Oh, man. It's like all the time. There's always big fish, it seems like, coming out of that lake. That's what's great about that lake. I mean, obviously, it's a big lake, and there's a lot of people fishing, but it's full of big fish, Joe.
Yeah, you know, I've said this before, and I kid around with my buddies. You know, I kid around them, and I say, you know what the real key to catching a big walleye is? And, of course, the answer is, well, what's that, you know? And the key is fishing in a body of water that has a whole bunch of big walleyes.
That's right. And being in the right place, going where the fish are. Absolutely.
Yep, it is true. You know, so the bite's been good, right? You know, and I'll tell you, what ends up happening is this time of year, those fish start, you know, moving out from that south shore of Lake of the Woods. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're starting to move out towards, you know, some of the deeper parts of the lake. They're starting getting spread out a little bit more. You know, it's been good fishing. I mean, we're still catching really nice numbers, a nice mix of walleyes and saugers along across that south shore. And, you know, I say across that south shore, that's a very, very big expanse of water.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking anywhere from the Lighthouse Gap, which is on the very eastern border of Minnesota and Canada. But the Lighthouse Gap is where the Rainy River enters Lake of the Woods. And, you know, we have a number of our fish houses and resorts with fish houses that are out from what's called Pine Island. And Pine Island is kind of adjacent to the Rainy River entering the Lighthouse Gap and all that activity. And then you start going to the west, and we have, you know, that whole Morris Point area. Then we get over by Zippel Bay, then we got Long Point, and then, of course, you know, Arneson's Rocky Point in that whole Muskeg Bay area. So it's a big area, but I can tell you across the board, you know, our resorts along that south shore are consistently catching walleyes and a lot of saugers. You know, this is the time you're going to catch a lot of saugers in the winter, and you know, that's one of the beautiful things about Lake of the Woods is that if you happen not to be on a school of walleyes for the moment, normally you're picking at those saugers throughout the day, as well as tulipies, eel pout, an occasional pike, jumbo perch, you know. But that's the south end. And I never want to forget about the northwest angle because, again, that's that little tip that sticks up into Canada. That's kind of a unique opportunity too. You know, that's a little bit different because now you're starting to get up into the Canadian Shield a little more. So rather than having so much mud, we have much more structure with underwater rocky points and reefs, and then that transitions into the mud. So right now, those fish are still adjacent to that structure. And as the winter goes on, we'll see some of those walleyes sliding out to more of those mud basins where they're picking off schools of, you know, minnows and things, as well as, you know, bloodworms and different critters that live in the mud.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking Lake of the Woods. Joe, last winter, we went up there, and, you know, if you want to go up there and catch fish, obviously you can go out. You don't have to travel far. You can catch fish, hop in with a resort house, fish the south end there. I wanted an adventure, and I had never been up to the northwest angle before. So we combined not everything. There's so many things you can do up there, Joe, but we combined some of the best parts of Lake of the Woods into one trip that we filmed for Prairie Sportsman. You can watch it on our website and on our Facebook page. But we snowmobiled from the south end of the lake up to the northwest angle, where we rode all the snowmobile trails. We did some ice fishing. We checked out the northernmost point of the contiguous United States. Is that what they?
That's right. Yep.
That was such a fun trip up there, Joe. It's really neat, and I don't know if a lot of people realize you can do something like that.
Yeah, well, it started out, you know, just to give a little bit of color. It was kind of fun because the first day we said, "Hey, we're gonna snowmobile the south end of Lake of the Woods, the land trails." And man, they were good trails and wide and groomed, and man, we hit a bunch of land trails. And then, of course, we had to finish up with the Igloo Bar on a snowmobile out on the lake. So that was kind of fun. And then the next day is when we took that. There's trails from the south end of Lake of the Woods going across the lake. Both from the Wheeler's Point area and also from over by Ernestson's Rocky Point in that War Road area, going all the way up to the northwest angle. And the trail, for instance, coming from Wheeler's Point, which is at the mouth of the Rainy River there, that's about a 42-mile trail. It's staked, it's groomed, and it goes right up to all the resorts and islands up at the angle. And that's exactly what we did. And, you know, Brett, I'll tell you, we had really good weather going up. And we came back, we had good weather. But it was cold, if you remember.
Yeah, I think it was 23 below zero air temperature when we got up that morning and strapped
on. You know what they say about that in this neck of the woods? Making good ice.
That's right. Which is, you know, that brings up a valid point, and not to get off topic from snowmobiles, but we should talk about the ice a little bit because I've talked to people even in northern Minnesota and then obviously out in Wisconsin and some of these other places. There's definitely some issues with ice in other areas, Joe.
Oh, there is. You know, it makes such a difference. You know, you take central Minnesota, you know, when it's freezing in central or above freezing in central Minnesota, it's still 25 degrees up here. It's still frozen. And then when it gets down to zero, it might be 15 below up here. I'll tell you, that extra 15 degrees of cold air makes one heck of a difference when you talk about gaining inches of ice and such. You know, right now, the majority of our ice roads, they're game on as far as the big trucks and the big fish houses. They're all being allowed out on the roads. Our resorts with bombardiers and track rigs are all running hard with sleepers and everything. I mean, it's game on, and we have no problems with that. That's also one of the reasons why, as border waters with Canada, Lake of the Woods is allowed to have fish houses out through the entire month of March, unlike the rest of Minnesota that has to get them off by the end of February. And you know, also, everybody knows this, but our walleye season, is open through, April 14th for walleyes and saugers. Pike never closes. So we do have that extended season, but I'm going to tell you that colder air makes one heck of a difference when it comes to a year like this where, like you say, some of those lakes, they're not real solid.
It's pretty wild being up there, Joe. One year we went up and stayed in a sleeper house, and this is definitely one of the benefits of going through one of the resorts up there is they take you out. It's nice and warm. They make sure your house is warm and you got plenty of propane for your heater in there. And there was at one point, I think it was like 35 mile an hour winds, and And I don't know what the air temperature was, but it was below zero. And it was cold out there. And you looked outside and it was like you were on the frozen tundra. You know, it's pretty wild when you're out there in the middle of the lake like that.
It is. And that's one of the great things about working through a resort with a sleeper. You know, if you ever want to experience a sleeper, it's kind of like ice camping. You know, got big furnaces in them. You can set that thermostat to whatever you want it to. And you got good cooking facilities. You're nice and cozy. It might be real nice outside. It might be a freaking whiteout. But the point of the matter is, it's really cozy in that fish house. And you can be fishing, literally, if you want to, 24 hours a day. In fact, it's funny, Brent, because, first off, we have a lot of families that go. We have guys groups, gals groups. I mean, we have a lot of fun groups that go into sleepers. And the other thing that's kind of interesting is, man alive, have we had a lot of walleyes being caught at night this year?
Really?
Yeah, you know, normally Lake of the Woods is stained water, so the majority of the walleye and sauger bite is during the day, which is perfect because that's when people are typically fishing, you know. But at night we've noticed that both on dead sticks and also people jigging, a lot of those walleyes are coming through suspended off the bottom at night, and a lot of them are eating. And I'm not saying we're getting big numbers at night, but I mean, you know, you're hearing about this sleeper got a couple last night and this one got, you know, an eel pout and two walleyes. And, you know, just interesting to see that trend.
Sure. Well, if people want to book a trip, whether a sleeper house or a day house, or they want to come up and do some snowmobiling or even start thinking about the Rainy River this spring, where can they go to find out more information, Joe?
Yeah. You know what? Check out Lake of the Woods Tourism and Facebook, or just go to our website, and that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, coming up, we're going to check in with Jamie Dittman and see how his snowmobile adventures have gone lately. He did some racing, Joe. We'll find out how his race went, and we'll check in with Curtis Blake, too, from Hay Bale Heights on Sporting Journal Radio. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Welcome back to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in with the podcast app or by listening to this radio station right here or on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. Follow us on Facebook. Jamie Dittman, our guest right now, he's a guide in the Brainerd Lakes area. He can wrap your truck with graphics for you. He can even race vintage snowmobiles. Vintage snowmobiles, or what kind of sled were you racing, Jamie?
Yeah, it was, well, vintage now, 95 and older we raced.
All right. And where was that at?
Down at ERX Motor Park in Elk River.
Yeah? How'd that go?
They have everything from truck races to snowmobiles down there. It went. I'm alive.
That's good.
Just decided at 47 I needed to try to race snowcross for once in my life. So.
Well, you used to do it all the time, right?
Not snowcross.
Oh, okay.
We did some ovals and drags and stuff, but Snowcross was the first, and there's a lot of jumps.
That's funny. Well, congratulations. You made it. So you just wanted to finish, right?
Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm always competitive and want to win, but I was happy just to finish. And I hung with the group for a while, but then, you know, I'm just too out of shape, and my arms couldn't hang on enough and started to slip when I hit a jump. My arm would come off the handlebars. I figured I needed to slow down a little bit because can't afford to hurt myself right now. I got a little work to do, so.
Right. Well, you're always busy up there. And of course you took the snowmobiles off the track and back into the woods last weekend and did a snowmobile/fishing trip.
Yes. What a great year this year. We have our trout opener every year in Park Rapids. We actually started fishing for walleyes, and then the next year they open up trout in the winter. So we made it our trout trip, and, me and my buddy Cody and his brother Tanner, who just got back from the military, and my buddy Larry, and yeah, the trout were like hour and a half, 2 hours. We had our limits and we caught just a ton more.
Really? Now, I'm not going to ask you what lake you were on or anything, but are those, that's obviously stocked then? Are those are put and take lakes?
Yep, stocked rainbows.
Nice.
And got some nice 16 inchers and a lot of 6 to 8 inchers. So, you know, looking good for next year already.
Man, that's awesome. I'm jealous. I really wanted to, you know, you and I started, you kind of got me into trout fishing through the ice. You know, I know we went up and fished with Ben Putnam for lake trout, and Lakers are unbelievable, but those stream trout through the ice, you know, we've done those trips up to Red Lake and northern Minnesota and different places. I am just hooked on trout fishing. See what I did there? Hooked. Trout fishing through the ice is so much fun, and I'm jealous. I ended up fishing for crappies on the last weekend on the trout opener, but I wanted to go chase some rainbows. And is it just rainbow trout that you got then, or what?
Yeah, so we got rainbows, but I just found a new lake. I'm going to go check out a walk-in lake with browns, brooks, and rainbows.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what saves some of these lakes is, you know, if you make them walk in or they're hard to get into, it just protects the lake. You know, the lake we were on, it was, we rode snowmobiles in, and luckily we all have big ice fishing snowmobiles because it was just a slushy mess.
Oh, really?
Yep. It was most slush I've ever seen.
Oh, boy.
On those lakes. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
You drilled a hole and you could see the ice turn black.
Yikes. Is that kind of typical across northern Minnesota this year? Is it some?
It is. I would say from Brainerd up. We got all that snow, and then we got freezing rain on top of it. So the lakes kind of look like a tundra.
Yikes.
It's really deceiving.
Well, I know I had a big drift in my driveway that got hard, and it took me about 4 hours to plow out with my four-wheeler. So I can imagine what the snow on top of some of these lakes is like around the state of Minnesota right now. But the fishing was good.
Yeah, it was good, and we got nice crappies after that and some bluegills, and we tried a few new walleye lakes that we found on maps and didn't find fish in any of them, but just looking for that one lucky lake one day.
So when you talk about some of those walk-in lakes or the lakes are a little bit harder to reach, the ones that you were on, did you see other people?
On the trout lake we did, but the other lakes, no. We just found a bunch of lakes that looked big enough to hold fish, and you know, every once in a while you get lucky and find fish in one that nobody knows about.
Sure.
We found some perch in one, but it was just fun checking them out, you know.
Right. Well, when you were on the trout lake, how were you guys finding them? How were you targeting them?
We fished right off a point where there's some dead trees. And the first day I took the big my big resort fish house and drilled two 2-foot, 3-foot square holes and sight fished.
Oh, cool.
And then the second day it was a little windier, so I just set up my pull behind and used graph and fished in about 15 to 18 feet of water. And when they were, you know, it seemed like most of the biters were on the bottom, but they were all the way up in the column and a lot of smaller ones up high.
That's what I found about those rainbows, those stream trout, when you find them in some of these lakes. It's like, well, how deep are you fishing? The whole thing? It seems like right. They're just cruisers. They don't have necessarily a particular depth or, you know,
no, and it's
structure
a fish
relation.
That will completely go dead. And then an hour later, they'll come through again, and it's crazy again for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, so that I think if you've never trout fished and you want to start, you know, just a jig and spoon, silver or gold is kind of always my go-to. and just start in the middle of the water column, because they'll come up that high or they'll go down that low, you know.
I remember, I think last time I fished with you, Jamie, I finally switched to, it was like one of those tinglers, VMC
yep.
tinglers.
Still I what I have on to this. Is it? Yep.
Yeah. Once I switched to that, I started catching fish, and I think I got that tip from you. So I appreciate
that. Yeah, that's
that.
Still what I use this weekend. And, you know, one of my buddies sitting right next to me 10 feet away, I had caught 11 so far, and he still didn't have one in the bucket, so.
Oh boy. That's a long day for that guy.
he had a long day. We razzed him quite a bit.
Oh man. I've been there. In fact, I think I was there with you one time when a bunch of us went out. Might have been the same lake, and I was fishing by you guys, and I don't know how many fish you had caught before I finally caught one, and the struggle was real for sure.
Well, I don't know how we did it, because we were there for like 2.5 hours, and finally, I said, well, we're leaving, and we started to pack up, and right when I was flipping over my fish house, he caught 2 trout in the last 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
2 nice ones.
Well, that happened to me last weekend when you guys were catching all those trout. We were crappie fishing here in western Minnesota, and I think it was 4 of us, and we were just fishing out of a hard side, and one hole was producing quite a bit, and the hole I was in had rock. I was like jigging between rock piles, so it was like unless those fish swam through those rocks, it was kind of the dead sea down there. And I wasn't complaining about it or anything, but the one guy that was in the hot hole was like, hey, I just came out here to drink beer. I'll be honest with you, I could care less about I caught plenty of fish tonight, so if you want to switch. And so finally we ended up switching, and then he caught fish out of my hole. And it's like, I knew this was going to happen. And then finally at the end, I ended up catching like I think it was almost a 13-inch crappie or something. It was a real nice fish. And I was like, okay, now I feel a little bit better. I was using his rod, and I couldn't catch fish that he was catching. He just dropped a rattle reel down the hole I was in, and he started catching fish.
And, well, up in Canada, they call that the Amundsen curse.
Yeah. I'm not very good apparently at this fishing thing, but anyway, it was a good time. And, we need to get back up and fish those trout lakes again up in northern Minnesota like we've done. So we should talk about that. I know we've gone up and fished those Red Lake trout lakes in the past, and that'd be fun to do again. So,
you know, it's kind of fun, too, as we always stop and have short lunch. So we stopped along a snowmobile trail and pulled on this pond and built a campfire and made some venison hot dogs and stuff.
Nice.
And we're probably 15 miles from anywhere, and a fat tire bike drives by.
What?
So I couldn't believe it up there. So, I mean, they're getting really popular.
They smelled the brat. Were they Johnsonville brats? Somebody,
no, they were venison.
Somebody just heard you open up the package. They all came running. Well,
I believe that's only with Busch Light.
Oh, yeah. Well, that works. Jamie Dimon, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. Jamie, we're running out of time here. We didn't have a chance to talk about Fond du Lac and Lake Winnebago and the Sturgeon Spectacular, but we'll do that again in the next couple of weeks. We're a month away, or not even a month away. Nope. Less than that now, from heading over to Lake Winnebago to try to spear a sturgeon. Sounds like they need to make some ice over there. So hopefully we get some better ice conditions before we head over there for the sturgeon spearing season. That's February 9th and 10th is the opener, the Sturgeon Spectacular in Fond du Lac, the 5th through the 10th. So Jamie, let's get out and do some trout fishing this winter. And thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right, coming up, Curtis Blake from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake next.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. February 5th through the 10th in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Visit FTL.com for more information. That's FTL.com.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network online, sportingjournalradio.com. And by subscribing to that podcast and iTunes, we're going to head up to Devil's Lake right now and check in with Curtis Blake, who's in the Snow Bear on the ice right now. What, you guys are filling the buckets up there, aren't you, Curtis?
We are working on it. We're out here right now, snow, hazy. We've had a little bit of some destructive weather that's been ruining some of our good bites, but we have been putting a lot of fish in lately.
I've seen some pictures on the Hay Bale Heights Facebook page of literally you can't see the table underneath the perch. There's so many fish on there.
There are people that don't even believe there was a table under that thing of perch. But right. Yeah, but yes, we had an absolute amazing catch a while back ago. And we've basically just been, you know, trying to build off of that. Of course, it did take a little dive shortly after that, but we are just chasing them around right now, actually working a few fish as we speak. Just had a nice little flurry. We got about six or seven in a row. I got my guys all working it right now and just trying to get them to come back in and be aggressive.
Nice. Now that's, I mean, that's kind of how the gig goes with perch, right? You got to wait for those schools to swim through.
Right. Sometimes what you're doing is sometimes you're chasing perch. You know, sometimes they're moving around out in basically in the middle of nowhere, and they have not yet schooled up humongous. We have found a couple of very big schools that we've been able to sit on and just wait for them to come around and around. But we've actually had our better success even when we're around those big schools, moving 10, 15 feet at a time. You know, I'm trying to stay on the bulk of the active fish. Because one of the things we're seeing right now in Devil's Lake, and I don't think that there is a guide in this area that would argue with me as to the negativity of a lot of these smaller pods of fish. Hmm. We can mark a lot of fish in a lot of spots, and it's getting a couple here, a couple there, a lot of grind dates. It's one of the beauty things about the Snow Bear is even when we're grinding, you know, those tables of perch are still coming. It just takes more and more work to get them. As we come into the later parts of this year now, getting more and more into it, end of January, early February, what I'm hoping is that these fish will start getting a lot more active and we'll be able to start catching them a lot easier than we have been.
Curtis Blake, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's in a Snow Bear on Devil's Lake right now with Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. You find, too, sometimes when you do get some of those schools of perch, I know sometimes people don't like to see a lot of fishermen around because sometimes you think that's putting too much pressure on, scaring some of the fish away. But it seems like sometimes you get those schools of fish that having all those lines down and having all that bait down, sometimes that keeps some of the fish around, doesn't it?
Yeah, it can keep them in the area. Perfect example right now, the area that we are in. I mean, if you look around the Snow Bear, you can see people within 300-500 yards kind of all around us. And then with the haze we have right now and, you know, a little bit of snow coming and can't see much further than that, but they're spread all over the place. We're not fishing structure. We are fishing flats. I think a lot of these fish are feeding on bugs right down near the bottom, which is why we're trying to work these fish up right now. You got one kind of looking at me here.
Gosh, you're making me jealous right now.
And out there fishing. No, don't be, because he just went right away after you said that. but yeah, no, there's no rhyme or reason sometimes to where these fish are going to show up. A lot of little pods, you know, 50 to 100 fish maybe. sometimes even smaller. And when you can find that right spot at the right time, which is what I believe has been going on a lot of this right now, and just knowing that gives you that advantage to just keep drilling holes. And that is where the snow bear comes into play. Here they come, guys. That's where that snow bear comes into play, because you can move so, so easily.
Hey, you got a group now, of clients in the snow bear with you right now?
Yep, I got a group of guys right now, and they're looking at me like, how did you just catch that fish?
Oh, you got one. Nice.
I'm reeling one up right now. He's about to come out. So I'll tell you how big he is. Oh, about an 11 incher.
Nice
Devil's Lake jumbo. Not our biggest of perch that we have, but definitely a good eating fish.
That's Curtis.
And there's more down there right now.
Curtis Blake, Haybell Heights, in the snow bear right now in Sporting Journal Radio, catching perch on the radio. Right, he's multi-talent. Yep. Not only can he do a radio show.
There, we just had another one on.
And catch perch at the same time.
What do you guys think of the snow bear here?
It's awesome. Only way to fish.
Yeah, those are great. Where are the guys from that you got in there right now, Curtis?
Where are you guys from? Go ahead, Kent.
Iowa.
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 Very cool. Well, it's a little bit colder up in North Dakota, I bet, than it is in Iowa right now.
Yes, it is a little cooler. When you're sitting in a snow bear fishing in 65 degrees, it's pretty nice.
There you go. That's right. Curtis, do you notice, speaking of the weather, when it's sunny or it's really windy, do you notice that if that affects the bite much?
In years past, absolutely. There are some days that we do not get bites very often when it is cloudy out. You know, the perch are a higher light biting fish. Not like your walleyes, which like that lower light level. So when we would get cloudy days, all of a sudden, you know, we just hate it because we knew there wasn't going to be a very good bite. This year, I bet you our best bites have come on cloudy days.
Really?
And then the next day will be cloudy and we'll have a horrible bite fishing the same stuff. And then a day later, the sun comes out and it's like, okay, now they're biting again. It doesn't make a lot of sense, which has made it tricky this year for finding and staying on these perch.
You know, isn't it funny? You think, as soon as you think you got them figured out, you know, you can sit there and be like, all right, on sunny days, use a quarter ounce tungsten with minnow head and purple bubblegum flavored color. I'm just making stuff up right now. But,
it's so true.
What works today doesn't always work tomorrow. The best fishing advice I always give people is just try to find something that works and be on the, you know, be where the fish are, be on the lake fishing.
Right. Yep. No, and that's the best thing you can do is get these fish figured out, is to be your fishing them. If it changes every day, you just have to change your tactics every day. And yeah. Again, I can't express enough how easy that is made by these snow bears.
Oh yeah.
You know, we had some of that wind the other day, and I don't think there was a portable shack on the lake because it would have blown away. I mean, 40 mile an hour gusts. The only fishermen I saw were snow bears.
Yeah.
And we stayed nice. We stayed warm. Like my guys just said, you know, they keep telling me to turn it down to 65. I like 68, 69 myself, but it gets a little too toasty in here sometimes.
Well, no, it's so nice to have those tracks too. And what, you know, we noticed, I fished last weekend out here in Western Minnesota, and we were crappie fishing, and the pressure was real high, and we were marking fish, but it was tough to get them to bite. And I've noticed that on this lake with crappies anyway. And you know, it's probably something that is applicable in a lot of places, but when that pressure goes up, fishing goes down. Do you notice that with perch too?
Very much so. Were you, how deep were those crappies you were fishing?
Oh, we were only fishing in probably 9-10 feet of water, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah, no, I noticed that. I've been fishing a long time, and I notice that all the time too. You know, people talk about front bites, and what we have is when you have pressure rising or falling, especially if it's rapidly rising or falling, sometimes it affects fish differently. Oh, there we go. Kurt just hooked up with one.
Nice.
Nice fish coming in. But you get that falling pressure. Some people think it affects the shallow water fish. You get the rising pressure, and some people think it affects the deeper fish. I think the one thing we all have in common is that it affects the fish, like you said. When that pressure is moving, those fish can sense it even though it's below the ice. Wind direction, not so much unless it's bringing in a front. But anytime you get the barometer on the move, pressure, going from one thing to the next from day to day, that's my line, guys. And then it just turns into chaos because sometimes you're on those fish, something changes, and boom, you know, the fish all of a sudden stop biting. Mm-hmm. Makes it hard as a guy, but oh, there we go, got another one.
Curtis Blake in the snow bear on Devil's Lake catching perch right now with his clients at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. The snow bear trips, when you take people out, that's kind of a like an 8 to 5 gig, or what's your day up there?
We usually tend to fish, you know, eight hours a day. Whether it is, typically what we like to do is go out in the morning, 7:15, 7:30 at the latest, get set up, do a little bit of walleyes for the first hour. Again, the walleyes out on Devil's Lake, they're not a night biting fish, but they are a low light biting fish. So your mornings and your evenings are your best at those. And as we get later in the year here, you know, those days get to be, you know, 10, 11, 12 hours. So it's hard to fish both the morning and the night bite. So what we like to do here at Hay Bale is we'll switch it up. Some days we'll take guys out right away first thing in the morning, go for walleyes, chase perch the rest of the day. And then other times, sometimes we have groups specifically want to just do walleye. So maybe we take them out in the morning early for a couple hours, chase perch for an hour or two, take a break, take them back to the resort for the afternoons, and then go chase the walleyes again in the evening. But most typically, it's an 8-hour day that we fish. We're fishing 8 hours in the bear, chasing these fish up and down Devil's Lake. Beautiful Devil's Lake.
That's right. And you got a bag lunch with you, some sandwiches and stuff?
Today, you know what? We have a grill. We have a Weber grill. These guys have been absolutely great the last couple days. These guys from Iowa, I tell you, they know how to eat. They stuffed me so full the other day of brats, nice, hot, fresh-cooked brats. You wouldn't even believe it. The day before, we had pulled pork sandwiches. Thank you, Kent. Pulled pork sandwiches. And today, what do we have, guys? Hamburgers today on the grill.
Nice.
But that's kind of group specific too. You know, we can provide lunches, but it's just like a bag lunch, sandwiches, pop chips kind of thing.
Sure.
But a lot of guys choose to bring their own stuff.
Curtis, if people want to book a trip to Hay Bale Heights, where should they go for more information?
You can check us out online at www.haybaleheights.com. Also, you can follow, like us on Facebook. We post a lot of our pictures. We try not to hide too much. You know, so when we're catching fish, we like to show it off. And when we're not, we do the same thing. We post, you know, our mediocre catches. You know, a lot of guys this year, you know, half limits have been pretty solid. You know, it's a 20 perch daily limit. And so, you know, when we're plugging away, 10 to 20 a day has been absolutely great. So check us out, guys. Like our pictures. And if you're interested, give us a call.
HayBaleHeights.com. Curtis, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you much.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to SportingJournalRadio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.